Happy Easter and welcome to the Erie First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. We've spent the weeks leading up to Easter in a series we call Notes from God. We've been asking this question: if God could leave you a message on a sticky note, what would it say? Pastor Nicole, along with Pastor Quinn Lindblad, has been answering that question by examining six notes that God has for us. We've been reminded that God loves us, and that often we need to slow down to stay aligned with God's plans. We've seen the need for holy living and remembering to take out the trash in our lives. And even when the world feels overwhelming, God reminds us to not give up. Today, Pastor Nicole discusses the resurrection of Jesus and how God always has a plan when we face our darkest challenges. So let's get started today and discover the powerful truth that you matter to God. Here's Pastor Nicole.
When I was a kid, I collected something called Beanie Babies. Okay. These little pellet-filled stuffed animals, they sold for about $5 in the late to early 90s. I brought a couple today. We got Honks the Goose. All right. Flitter the Butterfly. Yes. And this guy was my favorite. Slippery the Seal. I used to set them up and tell them all my middle school drama. Anyone else ever own a Beanie Baby? Okay, did you talk to your Beanie Baby? Please say yes. A cardinal sin of Beanie Baby collecting was you must never, under any circumstances, take the tag off. Leave the tag on. If you take the tag off, the Beanie Baby loses almost all credibility, okay, and no value. And at the height of the Beanie Baby range, McDonald's came out with something. They always think of something called the Teeny Beanies, okay? So then you have this whole set of Teeny Beanies. This was my favorite. This one is Claude the Crab right here. So anyway, there is more where this came from, but I didn't want to embarrass myself. And so miniature versions of the animals, equally super cool. The makers of this toy would only release a certain amount of each stuffed animal, and so there was this market craze. eBay exploded with trading, buying, selling these Beanie Babies that meant the most to them. I actually read that in 1999, a divorced couple in Nevada, I have a picture here, had a custody battle in court over their shared Beanie Baby selection. I'll trade you two crabs for one slippery seal. No, I liked that one. No, that's some crazy stuff right there. Now, Beanie Babies are not the only things that are popular to buy, sell, or trade. We trade lots of things: video games, jewelry, baseball cards, stocks. Sometimes that goes well, sometimes it doesn't. And normally when we trade something, we want to know, is this a good trade or not? We want to trade up. We want to get the better end of the deal. Over the course of a lifetime, you make a lot of good trades. You trade the money that you earn for groceries so you can eat. Okay, good trade. You sell your stuff on Facebook Marketplace that you don't want anymore, and you get cash to buy the things you do want. Really, really good trade. You trade your time, your energy, serving God for his blessings in your life. Awesome trade. But also in life, it's inevitable you make some bad trades. Maybe at some point in your life, you traded work for family, and you're still paying the consequences of that. Or sometimes we trade the truth, and we believe a lie about ourselves or other people, and that puts us in a difficult position. Or sometimes we trade our peace, and we feel anxious and worried all the time. Some trades we trade up, and sometimes we get the bad end of the deal. Well, the message of Easter is the absolute best trading up story ever told. Jesus made the best trade of all time. And if I'm being very honest with you, we traded up, but he took something that he never deserved. He traded us for something that he never deserved. Jesus left his place and took our place on the cross. Jesus traded places with you and with me. And today, for the next few minutes, I want to talk about God's plan of trading, something much more important than Beanie Babies, so I'll put these away for now. But let's start with this. Number one, God has a plan for your life. Will you say that to the person next to you this morning? God has a plan for your life. God is the master designer. He has drawn a perfect set of plans for your life. And every time you plan something, you have a purpose for that plan. You know, God did not create humans because he was lonely. Okay, he did not need humans to take care of the earth. He could already do that. He does not need humans to figure out the world's problems. Let's be honest, we make the problems. All the problems we're trying to solve is because someone made them. God made every person because of his unimaginable and indescribable love. And love always needs an object. Love always needs an object. And the Bible says we are the object of God's love. And so God had so much love. He is love that he made us out of that love, and we are the object of God's love. We are God's most valuable possessions. You are precious and honored in his sight, the scripture says. You are the apple of his eye. You matter to God. You matter to God. In fact, you can't begin to realize how important you are to God. It is beyond your imagination. That's how amazing God's love is for you and for me. I want to read to you from Psalm 139, verses 14 through 17. David is writing, and he's speaking not just about him, but this is a universal truth. He's speaking for all of us. And he says this, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them." His plan for your life is way better than your plan. The psalm says all of our days, every single day, is written in a book before they ever come to be. Even you sitting right here today is no accident or coincidence. It was written in the book of your life. God designed you for relationship with him. That's all part of his plan for each one of us. And so if there is a plan, if there is a perfect plan for our lives, then why don't we just walk out the plan and everything just goes perfectly and we don't have trouble, we don't have hardship, we don't have difficulty. What gets us off the track of the plan? Well, here's the answer to that. Number two, sin destroys God's plan for you. Sin causes all kinds of problems in this world and in our lives. It can take credit for much of the pain and grief that we understand and experience in our lifetime. Although we are designed to be God's friends and God's children, our sin leads us to act like enemies of God, according to Romans 5:10. Sin causes us simply to not be what we're meant to be. Sin gets in the way of me being everything that God wanted me to be. Sin gets in the way of you being everything that God wants you to be. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of us are doing stuff we're not supposed to. And then there's just sin, and all these things happening, and wars, and difficulties, and people making bad decisions, and people who are persecuted and trafficked, and having all of these situations. It's sin that causes the root of all of this hardship. Romans 1:21 says sin darkens our hearts. 1 Timothy 6:5 declares sin corrupts our minds. 1 Corinthians 2:14 reminds us sin doesn't allow us to even understand spiritual truths. It keeps us on the outside of God's best for us. And so instead of following God's perfect plan for our life, we try our own thing. We head in our own direction. Perhaps we don't intentionally want to ruin our lives. Many of us don't actually set out to do that. We really believe our plans will work out and we will know the right way. But the more we follow our way, the more we move away from God's perfect plan for us. Sin even messes up really good intentions. The scripture tells us this in Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way that appears to be right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. Maybe you had plans for your marriage, but now it's gone a completely different direction, and you don't understand because you had a plan. Maybe you had plans for your business, but business hasn't gone according to plan, and now you don't know what to do. Maybe you had plans for your children, but something happened and it hasn't worked out like you expected. Your kids aren't living the way that you planned, that you dreamed. Maybe you're here today and when you mapped out your life, there are just some things that you never thought would happen. You never planned to be addicted. You never planned to be alone. You never planned to be depressed. You never planned for relationships to go wrong. You never planned to drop out of church and out of relationship with God. But somehow it all just happened. We trash God's plans in his ultimate design. So what do we do when we realize that has happened? What do we do when we find ourselves in a situation where it's a mess and we don't know what to do with it? Well, I came across an intriguing article this week about Bill Gates' house. Here's a picture of it. It's located in the state of Washington. It's worth a measly $127 million. No big deal. It boasts 7 bedrooms and 18 bathrooms. When the guests arrive, they get a pin that they put on their shirt that interacts with sensors all around the house. And so as a guest, when you walk into a room, a predetermined temperature, just, you know, if you're a 65 kind of person or a 71, and Joel and I, we have wars on that thing, you know, right? And he's like, why is it so hot in here? I'm like, I'm so cold. You know, Bill Gates' house, you just walk into a room and your predetermined temperature changes. How you like the lighting changes. There are speakers hidden behind the wallpaper, and it allows your preferences of music. So when you walk in the room, the type of music that you chose changes. I even read that there's art on the wall, and you can choose what kind of art you want. Completely preferenced. There's a 40-year-old maple tree that's Bill Gates' favorite, and it's monitored by a computer, and if at any point it becomes too dry, water is automatically pumped to it, just outside. So what if I handed you the keys to Bill Gates' $127 million home and I said, it's all yours. It is all your, happy Easter. So I put in your Easter basket today. You get this dream home with an incredible high-tech gear. But then you go there, you walk in. And after you realize, you know, kind of you walk around, you think, I don't even know how to work this place. I can't even turn the lights on. I can't figure out how to fill the bathtub in any of the 18 bathrooms. I can't even run the shower. I don't know what's going on. That maple tree is dying outside as we speak because I don't know how to work any of this stuff. It all sounds really great, but I don't know how to work it. What would you do? Don't call me. The only thing I ever know how to do is unplug and replug. Like, it's not working. I unplugged it. Then you replug it in. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I won't even tell any stories about that. The only way to get the answer of how to work it would be to call the original designer. When you need the plan, when the plan is broke, when you're frustrated about the plan, when the plan is not going as you see fit, you know what you do? You go to the designer of the plan. You go back to the designer of the plan who knew it all along, who built it all along, the one who knows what you broke and how can fix it. And so often what we do when our lives are a little bit in disarray is we sit down and we think, okay, how do I fix it? How do I fix it? What do I have? What do I have? And God's saying, hey, I've got the plan. Ask me what to do about the plan. He has a plan and a design for your life. Sin comes along. It wreaks havoc on the plan. But God, the original designer, always knows just what to do. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to trade places, to leave his place, to take our place on the cross. And Jesus, by his death, burial, and resurrection offers us grace. That's the plan. That's the great news of Easter. God's answer to my ultimate problem was Jesus trading places with me. Jesus' resurrection power is available to ordinary people like you and me. And it gives us the power to have victory over sin and victory over the grave. And so number three is Jesus took your place. 2,000 years ago on a Friday, your sins and my sins were nailed to the cross through Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned. All fall short of God's glorious standard." And knowing that you were completely helpless, knowing your plan would never work out right, Jesus came and died for you. Romans 5:6 tells us this, "You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." And because of the price Jesus paid on the cross, God looks at us, and instead of seeing all that sin, all those plans gone wrong, he sees us like he sees Jesus. And the moment you say, "God, I'm in trouble, my way doesn't work anymore," the moment you say, "Jesus Christ, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, I want you to be my Lord and Savior," a trading of places happens. And it's the best trade you'll ever make. When I choose to place my trust in Jesus and accept his death on the cross as payment for my sins, I trade my mistakes for mercy. I trade my failures for forgiveness. I trade my guilt for God's grace. I trade my shame for salvation, and I trade my sin for a savior. I trade my plan for my life for God's plan for my life. And that's the best trade I could ever make. In fact, if you've made that trade before, can you just give God thanks and praise this morning? Let's just thank him for that trade. Hallelujah. I want you to watch this brief story of my friends who had a plan but traded it for God's better plan.
Well, in February of 2022, I had back surgery. I was going to have to be on bed rest for a while, and I kind of fell into depression because I wasn't able to work and being confined to the couch.
He was starting not to talk much, sleeping all the time. I could see he wasn't going to be going back to work as soon as we had hoped or thought. Fast forward a few months later, like into May, he hadn't spoken a word in like 2 weeks. We got him into the hospital. He was in and out of the hospital for about 3 months. Bills are snowballing. It's getting, you know, worse and worse and worse. We owed probably close to $40,000. We were scared. Like we were in a circumstantial position where it looked like it was impossible financially to get out of. And so to the point where I had a plan and I spoke to David about it, and he was in agreement. I mean, we wanted to commit suicide. You know, there's no way out of this. There was that battle going on, you know, "Oh, just take your life. This isn't gonna work out." Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That kept me from making the ultimate decision of taking our lives. And so we just started getting into the word. I started writing scriptures down. I remember one scripture in particular, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And we would just repeat that out loud. And so I just resolved in my heart, and I told David, "We will get through this. God will help us." I don't know how. We couldn't see it in the natural. I didn't know how, but I'm like, he's faithful. He has to bring us through.
We had a bunch of friends surround us.
They gave us very sound advice on what to do. And we didn't do it initially because we were kind of avoiding the inevitable, what we knew we needed to do. And so when I did do what the Lord was speaking through them and what was right to do, that's when the Lord met me. God says, "Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you." And so I listened, I was obedient. Was it easy? No, it was very, very, very hard. But because I was obedient, we were obedient, God met us and he carried us all the way through. We've come through all that. We were able to pay it all off. He's back to the way he was when we were first married. Yeah. He's healthy and whole, and there's hope, you know. On this side, there's hope. Get involved, seek others, you know, ask for help, ask for prayer. Don't, you know, go it alone, because that's what the devil wants. He wants to get you alone and thinking you're the only one. With my God, all things are possible, and they are, and we're testimony of that.
Thank God for that. Thank you, David and Angela. You know, one of the most beautiful things about Easter is that we're reminded that God already agreed to the trade. We don't have to worry about whether he's going to accept us or if what we have is good enough to offer. He already made his part of the deal. You don't have to negotiate. You don't have to show up with a better Beanie Baby. You don't have to do something in order to qualify for the trade. You don't have to become something. All you have to do is accept his grace. So before we sing our final song today, if you're here this morning and you want to make a trade, if you want to give your life to God, I want to take a minute and pray together. In fact, I would say this is probably the most important moment of the entire morning. So if that's you, would you just put your hand over your heart right where you're sitting? If you want to make a trade this morning, and if everybody could just bow their head in prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer, but if you want to give your heart to Jesus, you just say it to between you and Jesus at your seat. You can use my words if you need to. But just say something like this: God, my plan for my life hasn't worked. Forgive me for going my own way. Forgive me for ignoring your plan. Forgive me for my sin. I choose today to accept Jesus Christ and his death on the cross as payment for my sin. God, I take the trade and I welcome you into every part of my life. I want to follow your plan. In Jesus' good name I pray, amen. Amen. Can you thank God today for everyone who prayed that prayer this morning? If you prayed that, I want to invite you to stop at these prayer tables to my right and to my left before you leave today. Listen, that ham tastes good, but you got to deal with this first, okay? You got to take care of business. Because the real message of Easter is that it can be all the rest of the year. It can be the other 364 days a year. We can live in the living hope of who Jesus is. And we just want to give you resources. Nothing weird's going to happen. We just want to give you resources. We want to help you take your next step. Because here's the truth. God has a plan for your life, but sin messes up that plan. But Jesus traded places with us. And the story doesn't end at the cross. 3 days later, Jesus rose again. He is alive and he is risen. And so would you stand and let's just celebrate this truth together as we end our Easter service. Can we just sing this out as we believe and we trust that God has not stayed in the grave. He is risen again. again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, all this is pleasing to him, and to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Hey, happy Resurrection Sunday. Have a beautiful day. We'll see you next week at 10 a.m.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. If you enjoy our podcast, please give us a rating and a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.